Your Bibles, please, for our second reading, our Old Testament reading, to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, and all that are thine. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt do unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Okay. Well, can I say it this way before we move on from chapter 19? If we are looking at chapter 19 and now we move into chapter 20, we see even in Abraham a sort of weakening with regard to family and marriage. This is an important point to bring up in a day when family, marriage, and so on are set aside. And I don't mean family like focus on the family. We focus on Christ. We're not patriarchs in that sense of the term. We don't believe that. That's a perversion. That's taking... it's like the Lord said, a little bit, so a little bit is good, a lot must be much better, and not maintaining, not striking a biblical understanding of things and taking them beyond where they're supposed to go. We're not talking about patriarchy here, but we are talking about having strong biblical families. Obviously, in that day, the family had come under some kind of attack. We have sodomy going on in Sodom, and here we have a weakening even in the patriarch's household, even in Abraham's household. There's a weakening of the understanding of marriage. I mean, what did Abraham think was going to happen when she was taken into Abimelech's house? Well, the Lord God stood for his wayward servant. And so we thank the Lord that at such times he will overcome or may overcome our weakness. Sometimes he lets us bear the consequences of our iniquity and fear and faithlessness that we may learn faithfulness instead. Again, those times are up to him. It is my personal understanding here, and I have seen this in a few commentators, but it is my personal understanding that God saves the patriarch here because this is a very special situation. This family, this husband and wife, this Abraham and Sarah, they are to bear the covenant seed. Isaac is yet to be born. God is preserving that marriage. God is a covenant-keeping, promise-honoring God, and he will not allow the marriage of Abraham to Sarah to fall apart. We cannot, however, presume upon God's care in that sense. And so the patriarch is properly rebuked by Abimelech, as is Sarah. They both must bear reproach for what they have done. And the Lord gives them a good counselor in Abimelech. Notice also the other thing that is important about this passage. Abraham traveled to Gerar, and he thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. Remember what happens when Jacob travels to Bethel. Surely God is not in this place. Right? There are times, beloved, where we are waning in our confidence as to what God is doing and can do. We look at, as we have discussed earlier today, the situation of the world around us. And it's a dire situation. It is. But it is not a hopeless situation, beloved. And we need not think that God is not in this place. And we need not to think that the fear of God is not in this place. Sometimes that fear of God comes in unlikely places, like in the household of Abimelech. The fear of God was there. Otherwise, he would have blown off God's threats. No, there was some fear of God there. And so that's an important thing to remember for our own hope and confidence. Beloved, let us not be pessimists. We don't worship a God who loses, ever. Right? So that is an important thing to remember, that even in the trials and difficulties, though it seems we have lost, God has not ever lost. There is not a grain of dust that rises off the prairie and falls again, except God directs its path. Okay, so now let's dive into a few details here. Abraham says, she is my sister. So Abimelech takes her into his household. God comes to Abimelech in the middle of the night. What are the first words out of God's mouth? Thou art a dead man. Why would God say that? Why would God say, thou art a dead man? What do you think the punishment for adultery was in the ancient world before the law of Moses? Notice Abimelech's response. He doesn't say, in the history of the world, we haven't heard of that kind of punishment for that. No, he doesn't say that. What does he say instead? I didn't know. If I'd have known, I wouldn't have done it. That's what he says. This is one of those pre-Mosaic peaks into civil punishments. You know who else will say this? Job will say this. If I've lied at my neighbor's door, this is a crime to be punished by the magistrates. We don't understand that anymore in our society. Beloved, let's make sure we understand it from the Bible. Are you ready? Adultery and fornication is civilly punishable, according to Scripture. There's civil punishments that ought to come upon people that commit such things. And in the days of Moses and in the days of Abimelech, that penalty was death. Death. And why death? Because when you break up a marriage, you destroy God's procreative imagic, right? Iconic purpose. If you destroy God's, the procreation of the image of God, you strike against the image of God. And a strike against the image of God, we hear in Genesis chapter 9, is punishable by death. And this is why those other sins of human intimacy that are non-procreative, I'm being gentle here, those are punishable also by death. Very important to remember, especially in these middle or so chapters of the book of Genesis. Okay, but the Lord says something very interesting here back to Abimelech during this conversation in the middle of the night when the Lord visited him in a dream. He said, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart. What does God reveal himself to be there? The knower of all men's hearts. Secondly, what does he reveal himself to be? Therefore, I suffered thee not to sin against me. Wait a minute. Wouldn't that have been a sin against Sarah and a sin against Abraham? You know the answer to that question. We've talked about this too many times. All sin is first and foremost against God in its intensity, in its heinousness. It is an offense against infinite majesty. And so all other sins that are committed against you and me are not even the dust of the balance in comparison with the offense they are to God. And so God says, I held you back from sinning against me. Obviously also against Abraham and Sarah. But why is it that we magnify the sin against another human being rather than against God? We ought to think more like God thinks in that. Okay, so now restore the man his wife, right? So now what do we come to? We have accusation, we have admission, we have confession, right? Now we have what? Restoration and repentance, and works meet for repentance. Restore the man his wife, and if you don't, all you and your household will die. That's what the Lord says. Well, Abimelech takes this so seriously that he gets up in the morning and tells all the household, and everybody's afraid now, not just Abimelech. They think that God, unlike many, they think that God means what he says. Right? And so he calls Abraham over, and notice he's pretty frank, pretty straightforward with Abraham. Well, the king has liberty to do that, doesn't he? And so he says to Abraham, friend, you've done unto me things that ought not to be done. Why did you tell me that she was your sister? And notice Abraham's weak response. Well, she kind of is. She's, you know, she's the daughter of my father, just not the daughter of my mother. So it wasn't really a lie. Well, Abraham should have come perhaps a little cleaner than that. But notice also what the patriarch does. I'm sorry, what Abimelech does. Then he goes to Sarah, and tongue in cheek, he says, hey, I've given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Now, wherever you go, this should never happen again. Because now he's got 1,000 pieces of silver in his pocket. And he can bribe off anyone that would take you from him. That's the implication. He can be a covering for you now. He doesn't need to be afraid anymore. I've given him 1,000 pieces of silver. And then the other thing that's really important here, watch this, is that not only did he give him 1,000 pieces of silver, but he gave him men servants and women servants, and gave them and sheep and oxen and so on, and he restored him Sarah, his wife. And this is the thing I think we don't talk about very often. When those men servants and maid servants came into the household of Abraham, what did they come into? They came into the visible covenant, didn't they? They became a part of Abraham's household. They came under the sweet influences of the gospel. You want to know one possible reason that Abraham traveled to Gerar? Because God had a few elect men servants and maid servants in Abimelech's house. And now they belong to Abraham. And now they are under the sweet influences of the gospel so that they can be saved. Right? I mean, Ought we not expand our vision, our gaze, to understand what God is doing in a situation even like this? That those servants come under the bond of the covenant, being a part of Abraham's household. So what a mercy that was to those servants to leave a king that did not have a true profession to a man that certainly was called the friend of God. With that then, let's stand and continue praying.